Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and welcoming back again for, I think this is the third or fourth week in a row, Brandon's back. Welcome back, Brandon.
Woo!
And so last week after we were recording the episode, Brandon and I kind of went to lunch. We were talking about some stuff for a youth group, and I don't know, we kind of roundabout got to talking about someone, and we said, hey, maybe we should just invite this person to the podcast, and graciously, he said yes.
Yes.
And kind of in hindsight, we were thinking about it too, after this person had already said yes, we were like, oh, actually, this is the perfect person to come on this episode because of the topics we're going to be talking about, because that's really about how he lives his life. And so it's like, this is the perfect person to come on to be our guest for this episode. So welcome back for the second time on the podcast, Brett Yee. Welcome back, Brett.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
And so we were kind of, Brandon and I were kind of reminiscing this morning about last week, trying to figure out how did we end up with Brett as kind of a question to see if we wanted to get him to come on. And I think Brandon has an explanation. So Brandon, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, with our terrible, terrible memory.
And it's only since last Wednesday. Okay, we're recording on Monday, so it's not like Wednesday was a long time ago.
A full week. Yeah. But we kind of forgot. And so for me, I was saying like, oh, one of the reasons why I serve at youth group was because when I was in youth, I had such great leaders. And one of my leaders was Brett. And I think one of the reasons why I come back is because I remember all the things that he did for me, even to the things that he doesn't remember that he did for me.
I don't. Because my memory is terrible too.
So like after youth group, Brett would take us to the side and we would do like extra youth group training or Bible study. I don't remember what it was. But I remember learning the Greek alphabet with you. I remember studying the Bible in different ways with you. And that has all these different funny stories that you don't even remember, which is fine.
Yeah, I don't remember like anything about the Greek. I remember you would always take my my sermon notes and you'd put them into your notebook.
I still have them.
I think that was really cool. I don't even know how you made head or tails of my notes.
But, no. I probably still have them. I remember there's a lot of scribbles and broken out like a paragraphs. Like, take this paragraph out, move it here. And there's all these notes on the back. But yeah, like I think you were a big inspiration for me of why I do what I do with the youth group now is because of what you did for me all those years ago. We won't say how long ago that was. But like that was very impactful for me to keep doing what I'm doing now.
I appreciate hearing that because, I mean, that's encouraging. And to know that the little seeds that we were planting back then became big seeds or, you know, big growth now, that's one of the most rewarding things in ministry.
Yeah, and I think it really just shows your heart, Brett, as a servant and putting that heart to action, right? It's like after youth group, a lot of times people could just, oh, let's go hang out or let's spend time together. But it's like, oh, no, we're going to dive into the Greek. It's like, oh, man, I didn't know that until this morning when you guys were talking about it. It's like, oh, that's kind of going above and beyond in terms of trying to train up these people in the Lord and how to read their Bible and, you know, contextually just understanding our faith to a deeper level. Like that takes it to, because you can't just, you know, come up with that out of nowhere. You have to do extra studying in order to be able to lead people in that too. So yeah, it just shows your heart and exactly why this is the perfect episode for you, Brett, because you know, you put your faith into action and that's kind of the part of the series that we're on right now. We're talking about serving challenge and you know, what it looks like to be a servant. And this week's topic is to be a servant. You got to put it to action. And so welcome, Brett. Like I said, I don't think there's anyone else that I would rather talk about this topic with than you.
I very much appreciate that. Yeah, happy to be here.
And as a side note, a less serious side note, in elementary school, Damon, you were my Sunday school teacher. And then in high school, Brett was my leader. And so it's just a very nice moment to look at my past mentors and be like, just like old times.
And make us feel old.
It's okay. Not just feel, we are.
Yes, we can own it.
Well, I wasn't implying that, but you can say what you want.
And if you want stories of Brandon when he was little, you can come talk to either one of
us. Okay, those are things I won't remember. Yeah.
All right, so, you know, one of the things that Pastor Barry kind of kicked off his sermon with yesterday was he was talking about expensive gifts we have either given or received. And we were kind of talking about some of the ones that the three of us had given and received. And one that actually kind of stood out was one that Brett had shared about that he had given to someone. And it was at the prompting of the Lord. He felt prompted to do this. But Yeah, I feel like this gives also a good picture of, again, of his heart and his heart to serve other people. So, Brett, can you share that story?
Yeah, sure. So this was, the question was, you know, what was an expensive or, you know, meaningful gift that we've given? And just recently, someone in our church had gone through some financial issues and had owed a lot of money on their credit card. And she asked for basically help for, you know, just like a loan to help her with that. And we, Kathy, my wife and I, we prayed about it. And we were like, all right, the Lord's given us a lot. And the Lord has always asked us to be generous with what we have. And so we asked, like, okay, well, is this something that we want to partake in, like in giving the loan? And we felt the Lord was saying, you know, after praying about it, we felt the Lord was saying, give her $2,000, and then loan her $1,000 with no interest, you know, just as the biblical model asks us to do. And so, yeah, so it was like, okay, we'll pay off some of your debt and then help you responsible. And we later took her on into financial planning and you know, helping her have better spending habits, better saving habits, and all that kind of stuff. So there was a discipleship component to it as well.
Brandon, would you like to respond?
With what? Sorry, I had a brain fart.
No, I was just asking if you have anything you want to share in regards to Brett's story.
Oh, that's really cool.
No, I mean, so there's a lot of things that I appreciate about that story, Brett. It's just, one is, you know, your heart to seek the Lord in the thing, right? Because easily it could just be a flesh thing, like right. A flesh question, right? Like, oh, she's asking for money. I can either say yes or no in my flesh, right? And it's like, no, like, let's seek the Lord. And you did it with your wife. So together you guys sought the Lord and you guys came to recognize what you felt like the Lord was saying to you and how to do it. And then you responded, right? Like, a lot of people could say, okay, I'm going to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. You might hear something like, and then say, I don't want to do that, right?
Yeah, totally.
So in your obedience, you said, okay, this is what we feel like the Lord is leading us. And you put it to action and you said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And then you kind of even took it a step further because, you know, which seems like something that you are constantly doing is taking it that extra step and doing the discipleship afterwards. Like, okay, it's not just, okay, we're going to help you out with this financial issue. It's we're going to help you. And then we're also going to help you so that you don't get stuck in this situation again.
Right.
Right. Because it could easily, right. And I think that's what a lot of people think about when they think about like giving people money or things like that is, okay, well, if I give them this money now, well, what's going to happen next time?
Totally.
How, you know, they're going to put themselves in that situation again, you know? And I think a lot of people think about that in terms of like, you know, giving money to homeless people or things like that. It's like, well, what are they going to do? They're just going to go waste it on this and then they're going to be back in the same situation again. So
yeah. It's
really cool to see how, you know, in this example, you sought the Lord, you responded with in obedience to what you felt like the Lord was saying to you. And then also you took it that step further to say, like, we don't want to see you in this situation again. And these are some steps that we can take to help you so that you're not put in this situation again. So,
yeah, I think you're absolutely right to bring that up because that is definitely a thought that I think a lot of people have in terms of generosity. And so, I mean, yeah, especially the example of the homeless. And I think the big difference is that when we can consider ourselves in relationship with people, mm-hmm. when they are actually, you know, part of our flock, and not that you shouldn't consider someone who's homeless not part of your flock, because they very well could be, you know, with the right invitation and relationship. But yeah, like if God's called us into community, then, you know, it is, I don't want to say duty, but it is a reflection of love mm-hmm. to actually say, like, yeah, like I will help you just as the Lord help me. Like, I honestly think of generosity in the same way that the God gives us. Like, he gives us the gift of salvation, right? That's free. He paid for it. But then there's sanctification, where we participate and learn and grow. And so that's kind of like the model that he's given me for generosity. It's mm-hmm. the same generosity that he gives us that we ought to give to other people.
Yeah, and that's really a modern-day reflection of the story that Pastor Barry was sharing in his message yesterday about the woman who, you know, gave this extravagant gift to Jesus, right? She poured out the expensive perfume on him, right? And the question that Pastor Barry kept asking was, what did she experience that would cause her to do that, right? And that's why he had that question for us. Like, have you ever given, you know, what's the most expensive gift you'd ever given to someone? And would you ever give your whole life savings as a gift for one person? So for her to say that she would be willing to do that, she had to have experienced it. And so, so it's really cool, Brett, that you're kind of giving us a modern day example of that. It's really out of your experiencing the generosity of the Lord that you're giving out to someone else, mm-hmm. right? It's not just like, oh, I've earned it and I'm just going to do it. It's like, no, the Lord has given me so much. I'm going to respond in that way. So it's out of the outpouring of and receiving from him that you're able to give.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, there's the spiritual salvation, you know, transformation, all of that. But it's also like, if we think about, you know, I don't know if this is strictly about money, but if we think about how God is our provider, then all the money that we have is his, right? Like, we're just stewards of that. And so if we're, if God asks us to do something with it, it's his money. Who are we really to say no?
I think adding on to what you guys are already saying is, I love your answer, Brett, where I think for me, it's, you just take things for granted and you kind of just forget. Okay, maybe not forget's the right word, but like, God has done so much for me. What can I be doing for other people? And I feel like that gets lost in the hundreds of thousands of thoughts that go through my head. And so sometimes when I think about serving other people, it's like, I am so privileged. I have so much that has been given to me.
Same.
And I don't always equate every moment of every day. Jesus has already done so much for me. I can breathe. I can walk. I have a house on my head. I have clothes on my body. Like, I can spare X amount of money or spare some amount of time because Jesus has done that and more for me. And I think what I like about your answer is like, you're just constantly so humble and aware of like, Jesus is so good for me. And for you to translate that to others, it's like, that's, I think that's easily forgotten for me, you know? And I think I like that it, Jesus is always on the forefront of your mind.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I think it like something that God's put on my heart is that when we're asked to serve, when we're asked to give, you know, it's too much, you know, especially in our American way of thinking, we think like, oh, what do I have? And then what am I going to lose? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, we have to think about it is like, what is God asking me to invest in?
Right.
What is the growth that's going to come out of this? And to be sure, sometimes we invest in things and it doesn't pan out, right? It doesn't end up the way we hope. And that's just the nature of, you know, reality. But, you know, when God's asking us to do something, you know, like we have to have that investment in mind of like, what is God trying to grow in the future? And I think having that future mindset and future vision of where can God work through this? I don't know, that I think that we can really drive, it really drives the kingdom, honestly.
Right. I think with the agrarian culture of just spreading the seed, right? Of just, you don't know, you're not going to grow it, but you're the one dutifully spreading the seed of mm-hmm. like, I don't know where this is going to go, but if I don't do anything, if I don't throw that seed on the ground, mm-hmm. God will do the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I mean, I was thinking something similar, Brandon, is, you know, Jesus gives the parable of the soils, right? And so, right, there's the path, there's the thorny, there's the rocky, and then there's the good soil, right? Mm-hmm. But the sower is constantly throwing the seed everywhere.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so it doesn't say, okay, he only throws it on the good soil, right? It says he's constantly throwing the seed out to all the soils, and which soil is ready to receive it is the one that grows the most, right? And so, but it doesn't stop him to say, like, I'm only going to plant the seed in one place, right? And so, yeah, just the investment is like, there's going to be somewhere it sprouts up quick and then it dies. There's going to be somewhere it gets choked out by the weeds. There's going to be somewhere it doesn't grow because there's no soil there. It's just the path, right? But the sower is constantly throwing out the seed, right? And so in a similar way, like if we're saying, not if we're saying, the truth is we're in the image of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
We were made in his image,
right?
And so if we're taking our cues from him, it's like, yeah, we need to invest and not necessarily look at only the return on the investment, but it's like we're just doing what he's doing.
Yes.
Right, because the return may not be for you, might be for another, someone else or a future generation or something that doesn't come to fruition 10 years from now that has nothing to do with you, but if you didn't do that first step. Right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I think we're, you know, just like on a spiritual aspect, I think we're going to get to heaven one day. And someone way down the line is going to say, you have no idea who I am, but you influenced this person. Who influenced this person? Mm-hmm. who told me about Jesus? Right. And it's like, that's, I don't know, it's really magical, I think.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that's crazy just to think about, yeah. But then without you doing X, Y, and Z, or listening to God in these areas.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right. And you know, I think we all just have to be careful because it's like, we don't want to get down on ourselves or condemn ourselves, like, if we miss a one, right? Because we are going to miss one. We're going to miss one because of our fear, because of our disobedience, whatever. We're busy. You know, it happens. Right. And God, I believe God will accomplish what he needs to accomplish.
Right.
But to be able to participate in it, people say, like, yeah, I'm responding with my heart to the Lord. I think that's just part of the blessing and the grace that he gives us.
Right. What an honor, right, to be able to be a part of that story. Like, oh, he's using me? Like, mm-hmm. I get to do this? Like, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what better purpose and what better fulfillment of life is there to say that I've served God with my life?
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for those of us that are sports fans, right, it's like we watch sports games, we feel like we are able to participate, but really we're just spectators, right? Yeah. And so I like the analogies that you guys are giving because it's really, this is an opportunity for us to get to actually participate in something that God is doing and not just be the spectator and just watch, right? God is inviting us to participate in some of these amazing things that could be life-changing for people. And we get to participate in it. And it's not just, oh, we get to watch as this person over there gets to do it. And we're just watching on TV as they're doing it. But we're actually in the game.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And it's, I mean, it's the crazy phenomenon that, you know, like we always heard like the you know, the 80-20 numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Like 20% of the church is doing the work while 80% is just watching. Mm. And it's like, well, we actually did a poll, or not a poll, but like I ran the numbers of like tithing and like participation like at certain churches, and it was a incredible that we were actually basically like at like 79 and 21.
That's crazy.
It's like, what? Like, we're just a statistic. but if it's true, it's like we, especially I think in our culture, we're so used to consuming, we're so used to just receiving. And there's a time when, yes, I just need to receive. I'm like in a low point in life, and I just need to receive from the Lord. Absolutely. There's a time for rest. There's a time for, you know, just being fed by the Lord. But for the most of the rest of life, we're asked to contribute and still receive all at once. And it's like if we're not actually participating in it, then, yeah, that's, we're missing a huge part of discipleship.
Mm-hmm. So, Brett, I want you to give some of our listeners just a little bit, you know, a better idea of some of the things that your ministry is doing, some of the things that you guys are doing at your church, and how you're looking at putting, you know, service and just kind of putting some tangibility to some of the things that you're talking about. Because, you know, like I said, when I think of putting service into action, like, you are one of the first people that comes to mind. So I want other people that are listening to kind of get more of a flavor and an understanding of like what you do and how your church operates and how your church functions. Can you share some stories about, you know, what service in action looks like for you?
Yeah, sure. So I think in terms of like service for the church, because sometimes we think of service as like, oh, it is only like kind of outreach driven. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, there has to be like some sort of evangelistic component to it. And while that is certainly good and a big part of the kingdom, it's not always that. So like at our church, like I lead the ushers team and I lead the tech team, you know, the audiovisual team. And which is why I almost sat right in front of the podcast board because I'm like, oh, I'm right at home. And you know, those jobs, like, okay, you're probably not going to have an opportunity, you know, unless you go really out of your way to go and talk to someone about the gospel. Like, no one's going to the sound guy and be like, well, so tell me about Jesus. Right? Like, this is not going to happen. But those type of jobs, it's like they're still necessary for the church, right? And you are actually contributing to the family. Like, we like to think of, at our church about our church being like, we are a house of God, right? And in a house of God, or in any household, you're expected to contribute, right? You teach your kids to participate and do their chores. You know, you've got to put away your clothes, and you've got to, you know, do the dishes, that kind of stuff. So like, when we think of like, yeah, like this is part of me being part of this house, and there's a buy-in that has to happen, right? I think, you know, we get it. Like, people are busy. People are tired. They have all these other things. They're running their actual households. But to sort of shift that mindset to a place of saying, like, no, we're part of the same house. Mm-hmm. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. There's something, I think, that can really happen when we have that sort of mindset and buy-in and that vision. Like, yeah, this is my house. This is the house that God's called me to be a part of. So I want to be there for the people. I want to use the giftings that that God has given me. And sometimes maybe it's not your gifting. Maybe it's just like, well, there's a need. I'm not great at it, but I can fill it. Mm. Like, I don't think anyone like has the gift of scrubbing toilets. But, you know, it's part of what's necessary. Right. But that in itself is a way of serving. Like, I'm serving the people that I love, the people that I'm in community with, by giving my time and my energy. And I think that's a huge part of kind of the buy-in that we have to have. Now, is it always successful? No. We still definitely have some holes. So if anyone wants to come over and help us with tech, like, I'm definitely meeting new people. Yeah, there still is.
We're not releasing anyone to Brett's church, so come if you're to listening to that.
Yeah. But if you know someone in the East LA area who needs a church, yeah, we're looking. But in terms of, on the other side of, like, of the outreach thing, one of the big ministries that is coming up that is very near and dear to my heart, it's not explicitly with our church, but something that we've participated in, is the foot washing event, Skid Row. So my mm-hmm. wife works at LA Christian Health Center, which is a network of medical clinics in the Skid Row and Boyle Heights and East LA areas, and it serves the homeless, and it serves the underprivileged there, and serves our neighborhood and communities there. And one of the big outreaches that has developed is huge before COVID, and COVID kind of had to shut this down for a bit. But this last November, we started back up. But it's this foot washing event where we partner with the LA Mission, and the LA Mission puts on a huge event with food and giveaways and you know, socks and all that kind of stuff for the community there. But then what LA Christian does is they have a booth, and we have rows and rows of seats and buckets of water. And we invite people to come get their feet washed. Mm. And not only is it a very needed kind of thing, because a lot of them have not had a chance to really wash their feet and have a good cleansing. I mean, honestly, I don't even know. Sometimes we don't even wash our feet that well. But it's like, yeah, there's a physical need there, and it gets them also connected to the clinic so they can get deeper health care. But it also is a chance for us to really show, you know, the example that Jesus gave us. Mm-hmm. You know, he literally gave us foot washing, and of course he meant something beyond just foot washing, but it is literally doing the foot washing and serving and loving your community and humbling ourselves to saying, like, yeah, we are not better than you. We are not, mm-hmm. You know, we're not greater. We want to be your servants. And I just love it because I think it activates something within the soul. Mm-hmm. I've had people there who were really tepid about Jesus. You know, like, you know, they knew Jesus, they loved Jesus, but they were really hesitant to jump in. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that when you say yes to Jesus, and when you say, okay, I'm super uncomfortable with this, because you are, you know, we put on gloves. Thank goodness. But you put on gloves to wash the feet. But it's super uncomfortable mm-hmm. to be kneeling in front of somebody and touching their feet with soap and warm water. But it's, I think it really activates something in the soul. It's like, I like to liken it like, oh my gosh, like, I am doing what I'm made to be doing. Mm-hmm. God, like, if we are made in the image of God and he is a servant to us, just as Jesus exemplified, and I'm now doing that thing, that very thing that he showed us, there is something I think our soul sings. Mm. Our soul is just like, yes, I'm doing what I've been made to do. And I think it's cathartic. And I've seen plenty of people, like, do that ministry in particular, and they just blossom after that. Mm. They just explode with passion, and they realize, like, wow, I've been made for something so much more, so much deeper than, you know, the rat race, than just, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking care of your family, of course, but there's just so much more in the kingdom.
And I bet you that example in particular is a lot closer to the biblical example than you know, going to a youth camp and washing the other people's feet at the camp, right? Like, yeah. It's like, oh, you know, in the biblical times, that's one of the things that they were talking about contextually is different. It's like, you know, we wear shoes and socks and we're, you know, our feet are relatively clean, but back then their feet are nasty. Oh, yeah. They're wearing sandals. They're mm-hmm. walking through dirt roads. They don't have concrete that they're working on, right. walking on. They're dirt roads, you know, animal waste, like whatever. They're just walking through all kinds of stuff. So washing their feet is like they need to be washed, right? And so I'm sure the contextually it's a lot closer than, you know, probably a lot of our history.
Sure.
Or, right. you know, what we've experienced in yeah. terms of foot washing.
Yeah. It definitely is. Yeah. And of course, there's nothing wrong with doing that in a youth group or anything like that.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not trying to say yeah. that. Yeah. I'm just trying to say, like, our experience is probably a lot different.
Yes. It absolutely right. is.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm glad you brought that up because I think serving sometimes has to be uncomfortable. Mm hmm. Because it jars us out of our culture. It jars us out of our selfish nature that is just so prevalent. You know, even if you've been walking with Jesus, you know, forever, we still have that selfishness built into us. And we always think about, like, again, like, what do I have to lose? Like, oh, you know, I don't have to spend my time doing this. I could be, you know, I could be making money. I could be just sleeping. I could be doing something else. But then when we're willing to make that sacrifice just as Jesus does, it just opens us up, I think, to the possibilities of the kingdom.
And I really like the way that you kind of described it, how when we're stepping into who we were made to be, our soul sings, right? I think that's a really cool picture to say, like, yeah, by me stepping into these opportunities to serve, there's something that it does to me, how it changes me, how afterwards, like, wow, that... my soul is singing in this. Like that's just a cool image to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that God gave me when I first saw someone get activated mm-hmm. because of that ministry, and like it just clicked. And I mean, really, and it's communion with the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we always want God to be with us, and you know, we kind of only think of it in the tough times, the bad times, you know. But it's like, what about being on mission for Jesus? You know, walking step in step. I mean, I like Damon, when you and I went to Japan, you know, all those years ago, you know, when
we so that Japan, was, I mean, I, actually that's almost 20 years ago. Cause that was 2007. Oh my so,
but I mean, you know, when we went there, it's like, okay, we're going to walk step in step with Jesus, mm-hmm. walk hand in hand with Jesus. And I think serving and loving people and just being along with the Spirit, I just think the Holy Spirit wants us to get into some trouble. He wants us to go make some waves and, yeah, just get in trouble for the kingdom sometimes, you know, with wisdom, of course. But, you know, it's like, why not? Why not?
I mean, that's just a funny image just to think about. Like, yeah, get in trouble. Or it just sounds so paradoxical to me of, like, getting in trouble
yeah.
with the Holy Spirit. But, no, it makes sense of, like, just going out of what your comfort zone may be or going out of what you think is normal and then letting the Holy Spirit like work through that.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, and Jesus was always stirring up trouble, right? Like he was always against the establishment, against the culture.
Yeah.
And it's like our culture tells us to basically serve ourselves.
Right.
Right. Right. And so what better way to combat that with the opposite spirit than go out and being generous and being servants to people. And it's not, you know, it's not for a tax return. It's not for anything, anything like that. It's that I want to show people the same love that Jesus gave me.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like that's so profound that I'm like, I'm kind of speechless right now, just trying to wrap my head around that part of the discussion. But I do feel like, you know, one of the things that is really hard for us nowadays because of our culture and where we're living is that sense of like wanting to be out of our comfort zone. Cause I think that's so hard, right? It's like everything is so comfortable, you know, just our lifestyles, mm-hmm. the way things are, that we don't want to get out of our comfort zone, right? And so that's so difficult. But it's like, if we're never out of our comfort zone, then why do we need Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Right? Like, why do we need to rely on the Holy Spirit? Why do we need God if everything is comfortable? If everything's easy, we can do everything ourselves. We don't need a higher power, or we don't need to rely on the Lord.
Yeah.
And so there is some, you know, kind of, we do need that uncomfortability, that stepping out of it, in order for us to recognize, like, no, we really do need the Lord.
Yes.
We really do. And then when we look back and say, like, even in the comfort times, we still needed the Lord. We just weren't recognizing it.
Right.
Yeah. You mean you're hitting below the belt now. I mean, that's like, you know, and that really hits the cultural expectation and the cultural norm that we've allowed ourselves to be in. And don't get me wrong, like, I need running water toilets. I need that. But it's like, you know, I think that we always have that funny idea of like, oh God, yeah, just don't send me to Africa, kind of thing, right? And it's like, well, if God wants to send you to Africa, God might send you to Africa. But the other thing is, it's like, but he might send you next door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's still uncomfortable.
Right.
And I think we've always got to have our ear to the Lord, being ready to be like, okay, God, where are you sending me? Where are you sending me? We have a kind of funny idea within our church communities of like, you always need to have a bag packed.
Mm.
Just be ready to go. Yeah. And no one literally has a bag packed, but it's like, yeah, just be ready to go, because God really might call you somewhere. Mm-hmm. And are we listening?
And that's something else that I really appreciate about you, Brett, is I think sometimes, you know, when it comes to this topic of serving, it could just become part of our identity, of where it's like, I'm just doing it because that's what I've always done, or I'm just doing it because this is what I'm obligated to do. Mm. But really, in the examples that you're sharing, a lot of it is more, no, this is my response to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. And so your heart is really, I want to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that is, and what he's kind of revealing to me in the ways that I can serve him. And it's not just like, oh, I'm just going to serve because that's what they expect me to do. But it's more like, Lord, like, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And then your service is actually response to serving him, and not just serving people, which ends up looking like serving people, but it's really your heart for the Lord and what he's done for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think about how, you know, yeah, it really always needs a response. And we tell people, like, when they're praying, or when they're thinking about what ministry they want to serve in, it's like, well, ask the Lord first. You know, ask God, like, is this the right spot for you? It's sometimes hard, because then, of course, you know, we want to go into just, well, this is what's comfortable, and this is what I'm used to, or this is what, you know, I've always done, like you were saying. And maybe in an ideal world, like, we'd be able to be like, yeah, well, this person really is good at ushering. This person really is good at kids ministry. Like, we totally see that, and that's exactly where they serve. But, you know, the truth is, there's always going to be a need out there too. And sometimes, yeah, we have to say, like, but I'm willing to go out of the zone. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to say yes to Jesus, even if it's something that's totally new to me, totally uncomfortable to me.
Okay, so, Brett, I have a more personal question for you. Okay, so, you know, the three of us, we kind of grew up at CBC, Cerritos Baptist, right? And so that's a very unique context, unique culture, right? Kind of, we live in our own little bubble. It's in Cerritos, right? And now you're serving at a church in East LA.
Right.
So, like, what was that journey for you like, to go from, you know, majority Asian church in the bubble of Cerritos, mm-hmm, to now serving at a church in East LA? Like, what was that journey like for you, and kind of how did you end up in that position?
Sure. So it's a multi-layered story. How much time do we have? So I will say this, the journey actually started before I even left CBC. On good terms, everybody. Everything was fine. I still love CBC. The truth is that I wasn't there for a long time in that space spiritually to where I would have been able to accept where I am now, and embrace that. And don't get me wrong, like, my church is like people think like East LA and it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like, is it dangerous? Like, it's not that dangerous, guys. Yeah. It's we did have a dead raccoon on the street and it was there for a week. Anyways, that was gross.
Hopefully that wasn't someone's pet.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That's kind of an inside joke. Sorry.
It started a journey, I think, that started when I was in college, when my wife Kathy had really caught fire to the Lord. We were at different colleges. She was at UC Irvine, I was at UC San Diego, and she was part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And she really latched on there because of their whole focus on the compassion, the justice, being willing to serve in, like we said, talking about uncomfortable areas. And, you know, she would bring me along to the retreats and, you know, on the surface, I'm like, yeah, of course. And then you start realizing, like, wait a minute, God is calling us, even as young college students, to go and think about how our lives are shaped, how we affect the world, how we interact with the world, how there is more to the kingdom than just salvation and, you know, being a good person and all that kind of stuff, you know? Like, not just being a good person. Like, we know it's much deeper than that.
We know that, but I think that when a lot of people that are non-believers think about Christians, that's what they think about is, like, it's what happens after you die and the rules that you have to follow to be a good person. And that's their concept of what Christianity is.
And right. Exactly. And for so long, the church honestly kind of lost that.
Right.
Like, we gave it up. We let the government do it. We let other nonprofits do it. And it's fine for those entities to do so. But, like, we were called into this too, and we somehow forgot it. And so I'm going into these conferences, like the Urbana conference and, you know, going into some of the retreats. I'm like, I get it. I see it in the Bible, but I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, like, God dragged me into this kicking and screaming because I grew up privileged. Like my parents and my grandparents invested for me, you know, before that. And I'm thankful for that. But it's so easy to let that become who you are and forget about, you know, just like you were saying, like, we grow up comfortable and we don't want to leave that. And it's not to say that we can't have good and nice things in this world, but God's calling you to then use that and shepherd it and mm-hmm. steward it into the kingdom. And so, again, it's like I was just kicking and screaming until God just finally broke me down and was like, this is who I've called you to be. Like, okay, all right, fine. All right, what is this going to take? You know, we're not all called, like in the example of the rich young ruler, we're not all called to sell everything you own. Okay, that was because that was his idol. But I think we have to respond and be like, but it kind of can be an idol. It can be. Mm-hmm. And so how am I going to respond to that? And God's like, then you need to live a life of generosity. Live a life of servanthood. Mm. Okay. All right. Now what does that look like? And so after I'd finally gone on board, you know, we started up some compassion ministries at CBC during that time. We worked with, like, World Vision, 30-hour famine, all that kind of good stuff. I'm not sure how that's rolling out over there now. That's how it kind of started, you know, kind of slow rolling into it. And then after Kathy and I got married, we came back, and it felt like our time at CBC was up. Just context. We went to New York because he was finishing up grad school, and I'd left all my positions at CBC, and then we came back after her finishing grad school. We were now married, kind of looking to, you know, restart our life back here in California, and we just felt like it wasn't the place for us. Not that it's not; it was still an amazing church. I think we still would have thrived there, but it just felt like it was a new season.
Mm.
It's a new season, and we had to be honest about that. I had to be honest that, you know, leave the church that I had grown up with for 25 years, and say, "Okay, God, where are you bringing us now?" And so for a while, we were just checking out other churches on and off. I was applying to different positions. Nothing ever stuck because I'm a terrible interviewer.
You wouldn't know that from your podcast voice.
Dude, I have no concept of what I was doing. No one taught me. I don't know. Anyways. But I look back and it's like, God made me fail there for a reason. Mm, that's right. And so what ended up happening is that, let's see, how did this go? The vice principal at Garfield Middle School, it's another name that I'm forgetting right now, but the middle school in East LA, and he was Mark Nagayama.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We all know him, too.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Sorry,
I don't know if our listeners know him, but Brandon and I are very familiar with Mr. Nagayama.
Yeah, you know who that is. And so he was the vice principal there, and he hired John Tawa on as one of the youth after-school youth program directors.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah. It's crazy. And John said, hey, you know what? I know you and Kathy had a heart for different people, had a heart to maybe church plant one day. I think there's some cool opportunities here. You want to come pray about it? And so he had us come to East LA, and we started prayer walking around the school, around the area, getting to know people. Mark heard about it and then was like, hey, we have a young church pastor whose kids go to our school. I think you guys should meet him. Like, okay. And so we meet with, his name is Jody and his wife's name is Vanessa. And we started meeting with them. Like, you guys just planted this church here in East LA. You've been here for like a little under a year. And we got to know them and said, we should check it out. It's not in our area. It's not what we were thinking about. But then we started attending a few times and we're like, this is where we're called to be. Hmm. And yeah, it just stuck. And it's like one of those, like, only God could have made those connections to bring us here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Just because, kind of like we were talking about earlier, the, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it's like, okay, well, if Mark Nagayama hadn't asked John Tawa to work, and then John asked you guys, it's like all these just different steps to get there. It's like, wow, that's a pretty incredible journey.
Yeah. And you think about it, and it's like, you have people that then sort of glorify that story. It's like, oh, now you're working in the poor areas of LA. And it's like, well, no. It's really, like you said, it's the response of people just being obedient to just put people in the right places that mm-hmm. God needs you to work in. And we don't have to think about it in those places on those sort of like judgments or levels. It's just like, no, where are you called to serve? Mm-hmm. And responding to the Lord. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that Mark and John said yes. Mm.
I mean, something that I think is really cool that you guys are constantly saying is just like response versus react. And I know that that's come up a lot of like, you want to respond to what the Lord is saying as opposed to just jolting to action and be like, Lord, is this where you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And that's hard. Sometimes it's like you have to slow down. You have to be in communion with the Lord and kind of hear what he's saying. And like you have that ironed out. And that's sometimes it's some people are like, I don't even know how to get there. And it's tough.
Yeah, I think our emotions play a huge role in that. Like you're saying, we respond, just our knee-jerk reactions, and I'm guilty of that too, many times.
100%,
like,
yeah.
Like,
so. Like us, like, I do that too, not
you. You remember time?
Like, no, like, no, I think that came out wrong.
Brandon, you're like throwing bread under the bus.
No, me too. me too, not just you. I get that. Sorry, timing.
I've been hit by many buses. No, but I think it's totally true that our knee-jerk reactions guide so much of what we do as people. We're so emotional, even if we won't admit it, especially as Asian people. We're like, it's like our emotions are so big sometimes. And it's crazy that, like, it's like, no, it's just that fear kicks in. Mm. Like, no. Or even on the other side of like, yes, let's just do this. And it's like, well, hang on. Have you thought about how wise exactly respond to that is? Uh-huh. And like there have been, doors can open, but it may not actually be the door that we're supposed to walk through.
Right.
And we really need to seek the Lord in those things. Like there are plenty of good opportunities. Like someone, a friend of mine asked if I would join his staff at another church. And it was literally 8 minutes from my house. Mm. 8 minutes from my house. And it would have been a foothold into the community that I'm serving, like through our schools. Like I'm very involved in like our PTAs and our school system. And it would have been like so ideal on paper. It would have looked exactly right. Mm-hmm. And like the money would have been better. And again, the proximity, the easiness. Obviously, you lose friends, by leaving to a different church. That would have been hard, but I prayed about it, and God said no. You're like, no, that's not where you're supposed to be right now. And it wasn't wrong, and it wasn't wrong for my friend to ask, because he sought the Lord mm-hmm. and said to ask anyways. And sometimes the Lord's going to say, I just needed you to obey mm-hmm. and ask, mm-hmm. even if the answer was no. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, then he actually realized it actually wasn't the right time for him to hire someone new. Mm. And God had to bring him through that process. And I think it's just so amazing that when we actually submit ourselves to the Lord, we end up learning what we actually need to learn and developing who we need to develop, even if it's not that sort of upward progression, that upward mobility that we think about in terms of like the kingdom. And it's so not a kingdom principle of like upward mobility. Mm. It's wherever God needs you.
Right.
I could just listen to you like talk all day. It's like, oh man, you're just bringing up so many different, like very profound, amazing things to say. It's like, wow, I'm just getting just like preach, brother. Like,
thank you. I appreciate that, but I'm embarrassed now.
Well, something that I was kind of embarrassed about growing up, which is kind of interesting too, is you know, when we were growing up, there were a lot of Star Wars fans, right? I wasn't really a Star Wars fan. I was more of a Star Trek fan. So
I've got a Trek hat right now.
I know that's I keep looking at your Star Trek hat, right? Because that's one thing I've appreciated about Brett. He's been a Star Trek fan, and he's gone to Comic Cons as Star Trek characters, and I've appreciated that. But anyway, when you're talking about the emotional part, right? And sometimes our emotions are, you know, get in the way of some of our decision making because we just knee jerk react and we choose out of our emotions. And especially because you're wearing the Star Trek hat, it just brought me to there is a quote from one, the newer version of Star Trek with Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine in the first not episode, but the first movie, of this cast, you know, when they're talking about Vulcans, right? And say like, you know, you think that we're totally logical and we don't have emotion, but really we feel very deeply.
Yeah.
And we probably feel deeper than the
humans.
Yeah, the humans, yeah. Right? But we choose logic because it's better to make decisions based on logic than it is to base it off emotions. But that doesn't mean that we don't feel, right? And that was kind of a main theme of that whole movie, was the emotions that Spock is going through, even though he might seem so stoic and so logic driven. But
sure.
There's a deep emotional feeling of him, you know, losing his world, losing all of his people, losing his mother, losing all this stuff, and that deep emotional connection. So I think it's really interesting how you're bringing that up in terms of like, a lot of times as an Asian community, it's very easy for us to try to put on the face of being stoic as if we're not experiencing emotions, but really those emotions run deep.
Yeah.
And so how do we respond to those and not just react to them?
Yeah. Oh, then that's such a good question. Yeah, I think about this a lot, especially now that I'm a dad. I mean, I've been a dad for now 11 years, but like, you know, raising your kids up in emotional intelligence and letting them feel and be allowed to feel those kind of things, and yet still have to submit it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, I mean, at some point it's like, yeah, we sort of think of emotions and then they're tempered by that logic, right? And it's temper, I think, is the right way to think about it, not negated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're saying, like Spock felt deeply. I mean, he was half human too, but you know, is nerd stuff. And it's a reality to who we are. And I don't think we can ever let logic completely supersede emotion, because then that's just then that's erasing part of who we are. And I have to believe that God gave us our emotions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus experienced emotions. God experienced emotions. And those are all very real. And yet they never let their emotions rule them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of emotions as they are good indicators of something that is right or wrong. Something that is like happening within us because we are observing the world. We're observing the kingdom. We're observing what's going on. We're seeing injustice. We're seeing, you know, we're seeing whatever is around us. And we have a response to that. And it tells us, like, okay, God may want to do something here.
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to teach me something here. God is trying to grow something in me here. God is wanting to respond in a certain way. When we let our emotions control us, I think then we go, you know, pendulum swing and go so far as like, well, I'm just going to do this. And you know, like, I'm going to react in my anger because, you know, like, oh, my kids are actually, you know, my kids are making me mad. And so like I'm going to respond and explode in anger, right? And that's when our emotions control us. What I had to learn is like, oh my gosh, like, I'm feeling this emotion right now. And I've had to say, take a deep breath and submit it to God, submit it to Jesus. And like, well, what are you trying to teach me with this emotion? And trust me, I fail at this all the time. But whenever I am able to actually submit it to Jesus, it's like, oh, you're showing me something within me that still needs some healing. Mm-hmm. Right? And then like on the service part, it's like you see, like we feel these emotions when you know, you see like a homeless person. Mm-hmm. Right? You feel an emotion. At least I hope we do. Is God asking us to, you know, absolutely go and solve the homeless crisis? I mean, I don't think any of us could just by ourselves. But it's like, am I supposed to go, am I supposed to turn off that emotion and say like, no, then I'm not going to help because I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But God started saying, no, I want you to grow in your compassion. And I may be actually asking you to go help that person. I may be asking you to go have a conversation with that person. I may be asking you to drop what you are doing right now and help. But we have to ask. Again, yeah, it's all bringing back to have to ask.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it comes to that, it's like, it's very easy for us to take our emotions and say, like, they're bad, right? Because a lot of them are difficult, right?
They're difficult.
But how boring would life be if we had no emotion, right? It's like, we don't like it when things are monotone. It's like, it would be a life of just monotony, right? With no emotions at all.
Absolutely.
But then I really like how you were talking about using our emotions as an opportunity for us to engage the Lord. Like, what are you stirring in me right now? So one of the things last week that Brandon used in his youth group message was he had some questions for people. And one of the questions was, right, like, how active is the Lord in your life, right? And so we're kind of thinking some are going to say a lot, some are going to say not much, some are going to, right? And so the next question was there anything that was highlighted to you or anything that stood out to you in the message that Brandon gave? And so we're hoping something might have stirred their, you know, stuck with them a little bit. And it's like, well, see, the Lord highlighted that to you. But were you associating with God being active in your life?
Right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, yeah.
And so using our emotions is a way to say, like, the Lord is highlighting something here. Let me engage with him on what that is or why it's stirring me. Why is it causing me to feel this way? And then using that as an opportunity for us to engage and interact with the Lord and recognize that he's with us all the time, even in times we might not have recognized it before.
Yeah, no, that's a really good. I love that. I'm gonna steal that from you guys.
It's all sneaky.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's yeah, just like what is we sit in sermons sometimes, and you know we kind of have this idea that I'm supposed to sit and be respectful and listen, and certainly you are, but man, have a reaction, but not a reaction of just your emotions. But yeah, recognize it like, oh, God's bringing something up. I tell people all the time, like, when you're doing your quiet times, when you're reading scripture, like, you don't have to necessarily, like, finish a whole chapter a day. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes God might say, I want you to stay on this passage. Okay. I want you to stay on this verse. Maybe even just this word. Mm-hmm. And if something is happening, then he may be trying to highlight something to you right there. Mm-hmm. And then, again, it's like, don't just react to it, but then say, all right, God, what is this? What is this going on that you want to show me? And he will show you. Mm-hmm. He absolutely will show you.
All right. So, Brett, you know, we've been talking about service and action, right? And we've been talking about how sometimes it can be very uncomfortable. So can you give our listeners something that you've learned for yourself that has made it so that you're willing to take some of the risky step to put it in action, right? Like we talked about it, like, let's hear from the Lord, right? I think we're in agreement that that's a good thing to do, right? Like, let's seek the Lord. But when the Lord says, I want you to do this, and our flesh says, nah, I don't want to do that. Like, what have you found for yourself that has helped you to take that step of say, like, okay, I want to respond in the way that the Lord wants me to respond. I want to respond in obedience.
Yeah. Oh, man. I will admit to everyone that still sometimes I say no.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me just first say that sometimes I still don't get this right. Okay. Many times I still don't get this right. When I'm able, though, to say, I got to remember who God made me to be. I have to remember who I am in the Lord, and that I am a son in the house, and that when I'm facing something uncomfortable, when I'm facing the possibility that it's going to get messy, or it's going to be, I'm not asking them to put themselves in like huge danger kind of thing, but sometimes it happens. But when I feel really scared, I have to remember that. Oh yeah, or when you feel like you're going to get rejected, right? Like
I mean, that one's a really hard one. Yeah. It's the rejection, right? The rejection's a hard one.
Yeah, and no one likes that, of course. Like it sucks to feel that. It absolutely does. But if I remember that I'm a son in the house, if I remember that God is on my side and that His love for me is not based on even whether I say yes or no, it is simply based on the fact that He loves me. It's simply based on the fact that I'm His son, that I'm made by Him, and that He is on my side and working things out for my good and for the good of the kingdom and all those who believe Him, then I will say, okay, I can do this. Because even if I fall flat on my face, even if I get a huge no in my face, even if this doesn't turn out at all like I think it should go or ideally should want it to go, God is still with me. Mm. And that usually is enough to say, okay, God, let's do this. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that kind of encapsulates like who we are as a church at Catalyst.
Yeah.
And the way that Pastor Barry wants us to respond, just really kind of being grounded in our identity in Christ and His love and care for us. And really the theme of His message this past Sunday was really about that. It's like what you need to experience first that leads you to action.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's not just, I got to force myself, I got to will myself, I got to, you know, but it's really like, am I experiencing the Lord?
Mm. Yeah.
In His love, in His, how grand He is and who He is. And then this is my response, putting it into action. So,
yeah. No, that is absolutely true. Because, I mean, let's be real. There are plenty of people who don't know the Lord, who do good things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't bad. It's not bad. But they're missing something. And for us as believers, we have to be able to tap into, yeah, who we are and find that gratitude, that humility, and just like, wow, God is so big. And He's asking me, just like we said in the beginning, like He's asking us to participate in His kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, coming from that place, it makes service into like a joy. Mm-hmm. It becomes a part of who we are, and it creates a new culture. You know, it replaces that selfishness and it demolishes those strongholds of all those things that we're holding on to that are keeping us from the kingdom when we actually then put it into action. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like a cycle, like, all right, it's going to go over and over, and you start taking away some stuff, but replacing with Jesus. I'm going to take away myself and put it with Jesus, take away my fears, but replace it with Jesus, because you're actually then putting it into action. Like we are, I mean, we're literally creating new neuron pathways in our brain.
Yeah.
But it's like in our souls too. It's like we are literally replacing those sinful aspects of who we are with Jesus by really putting it into action. And that's why, like, you know, when we talk about the foot washing, it's like some of those people had never really stepped into Jesus, but that got them connected to Jesus because it connects you in a very tangible way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because you were talking about replacing our neurons and changing our brain. That's been a theme that we've been talking about on the podcast quite a bit recently, is neuroplasticity and how amazing the Lord has created our bodies and our brains specifically to be able to kind of do brain surgery on ourselves by how we think and what we do.
Oh, it's totally true. Mm-hmm. I mean, the body, soul, and mind are all connected, right? And that's our emotions are actually part of us, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to that, it's really that we are whole, but we're only truly whole when you have Jesus in all aspects of those life. And that's why it's like, you know, it's never just the spiritual stuff. It's like, no, you're taking care of your body is actually a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. Right. Taking care of your emotions, you know, your mental health is a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, Brett, because, right, like, we don't talk that often, but just how aligned things are, just because the way that the Lord is so awesome and how he lines things up. It's
I love that.
All the things that you're talking about, it's like, I've been working on one of my projects recently has been, like, what does this discipleship process look like? Mm. And it's like the Lord keeps drawing me back to it's not just, like, an intellectual exercise discipleship, right? It's like, there's aspects of, you know, our spirit, our soul, and our body that need to be incorporated in discipleship. And our body is a part of it. Like, if we're not taking care of our body, we're not going to be able to be discipled and follow him the way that we can.
Yeah, absolutely
true. In a way that we are, if we are taking care of our body, right? So, yeah, just it's really cool just to have these conversations and just to see, it's like, man, God, you are so big that we're in two totally different contexts, and we can come back together, and you're teaching us very similar things.
Yes. I truly believe God is really bringing out something of a very authentic discipleship out of, you know, the American church that we all kind of grew up in. And he's really highlighting a lot of things that we've missed as people growing up, but we're becoming more aware of it now. Mm-hmm. And he's growing us in new ways. And it's like, God can do new things even 2,000 years later, right? It's incredible. And the more we discover about the world, like, you know, because none of us talked about emotions back when we weren't alive in the 70s. We are not that old. But it's like, you know, the church at one point was like, no, you can't talk about this. This is evil,
right?
You know? And it's like, no, it's part of who we are. And God's now giving us the vocabulary and the science and the understanding to really put it into words, and we put it back in that spiritual context. And it's like, wow, how is God freeing us now that we were never able to be before? And I think it's incredible.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun to have some of these conversations. Like, wow, God's been teaching you that too? Like, he's been teaching me the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary, though. You know, that's the way it is.
That's just how big God is.
Yes.
Right? It's like, we don't even need to be having a conversation with each other in the physical to be hearing the same things from the Lord.
Yeah.
Just because how big he is.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, we're coming up on time. Brett, do you have any kind of closing comments that you'd like for our listeners to take away from?
Oh, I'm terrible at this. Like, you watch me try to land a sermon, and it's like, if I don't have it already written out, it's like, ooh, crash.
Hopefully I'm not giving you PTSD as, like, this is your interview, Brett. We're interviewing you. And
I'm out, guys. I just lowered my chair. I would say this. When you have an opportunity in the Lord, just be willing to even have a conversation with Jesus. We're so used to living life, honestly. I'm going to say this as gently as I can. We're so used to living our life as practical atheists. In that since we know Jesus and we know the Bible in our heads, we can kind of say, like, yeah, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. And for many things, yeah, sure. But when you have especially those big moments, give it to God. Give it to God and see what he says. And I think we can all walk in a deeper depth of the kingdom when we're able to say, okay, God, what do you have for me today?
Yeah. Mic drop. Mm. For someone that didn't write it out, Brett, that was pretty good.
Theater background. That's
all right, Brandon. You have anything you'd like to close off with?
I'm not going to say anything after that. That was amazing.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brandon, for co-hosting again, and thanks again, Brett, for coming on and being a very special guest. Just really appreciate you, your heart to serve the Lord, and just the ways that you're helping our congregation to be able to recognize, you know, opportunities that come around through the Lord that we can seek Him and respond in the ways that He wants us to respond. So thanks for sharing with us some practical examples and some of the ways that you've been doing that in your life.
Thanks, man, for having me on. I'll say, like, just even in our conversations here, I get to bring stuff back to my church, and, you know, you guys are building us up too. We may not all know each other in the kingdom, but we are all part of the same team. And I love that.
Yep. And kind of in a similar way that you were talking about being connected to the Lord in the foot washing, right? It's like, that's not the only way that we can connect with each other, right? It's like, every time I take communion, I feel like, man, I feel so privileged that in this communion, I'm connected with all my brothers and sisters from around the world. Kind of throughout history too. It's like, wow, this is the same example that I'm connected to the Lord in the same way that the disciples were at the Last Supper.
Oh, like, that is so good.
Right? Like, I'm connected to them through this. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Got
shivers, man.
Right? So, you know, it's been a while since we've connected, Brett, but just it's so cool just to see the ways that the Lord has been working in you, and just it's always good to catch up. So thanks again for coming on, and we will definitely have you back on in the future. So
looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks again for all of you listening out there. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.